844 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I'm a gun guy, not anti-gun at all, but you know I always preach about you got to think about what's going to happen after you pull a gun out, after you pull that trigger, because it can go bad on you very, very quickly. Sometimes appropriately, sometimes inappropriately. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, is here to talk about what Mike Pearlstein's story, it turns into he's calling it a Hail Mary legal maneuver, but it concerns Nicholas Williams. Good morning, Dane. How are you, professor of law at Loyola? Dane?
Hello, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Did you have a good fourth?
I did.
Tell me the story of Nicholas Williams, because you know I always like to let people know what happens once you decide to pull the trigger, what can happen. You're in the system and things are out of your control.
Yeah, he was a security guard at a Dollar General when a homeless person came in who appeared to him to be menacing. And at some point, he pulled his firearm and shot the man in what he contended was a self-defense type situation. He and his lawyers thought that the police and the DA would see it that way, but ultimately he was charged with aggravated battery, mm-hmm. and because a firearm was involved, he was subject to a firearm enhancement that would have and did ultimately dramatically increase his exposure to jail time, and he would have faced anywhere between probation and 10 years just for the aggravated battery, but because of the firearm enhancement, he was looking at a mandatory sentence of 10 years. And many, including the judge, thought that that was an unreasonable sentence under all of the circumstances, given that, given the amount of time for what, in light of all of those circumstances that I just described.
So how did he get out from under it, Dane?
Well, his lawyers filed what some would call a Hail Mary type motion, a motion to have the judge deviate below the mandatory statutory sentence for the crime with the firearm enhancement, arguing that under the Louisiana Constitution, it would be a constitutionally excessive punishment. And you rarely see those motions filed, and even more rarely see them succeed. And in this case, after his defense lawyers filed the motion, the judge found it to be persuasive and sentenced him below that mandatory 10-year sentence.
What did he wind up serving?
Well, I believe he wound up getting out essentially immediately. He got credit for the 8 months that he had served, and then he got probation after that. So he wound up serving a total of 8 months on a charge that typically would have netted him a 10-year mandatory minimum.
So he was a security officer, and this is why I wanted to have you on, because you know how I am. He's a security officer, fired a warning shot, which I don't know if that's ever a good idea or not. Didn't try to use lethal force or anything like that, but he did go to jail for a long time, for eight months, a long time in jail. When he got into the system, as I understand it, he wound up with, a fill-in public defender?
He did. Again, you hate to blame this on the public defender. The DA brought the charges and a jury convicted the man. And it was really then the only hope he had was with the sentencing judge.
And again, I'm not anti-gun, but I just like people to understand what they're in for once they decide to pull that trigger. And maybe as an attorney, tell me what's going to happen to me if I get into a beef and I decide to take the gun out and pull the trigger. Under what grounds in Louisiana am I in? Under what situation am I on firm ground, and what situation am I not?
Yeah, and to answer your question, what's going to happen to you after you pull the trigger, the problem is who knows? Mm-hmm. It depends on what the police think about the situation, then the DA, and then ultimately the jury and the judge when, God forbid, it would get that far. So the real touchstone is necessity. Is mm-hmm. there an absolute necessity to use deadly force? And if it's ambiguous, then even though there are presumptions often in favor of the accused, particularly if the shooting takes place in the accused's home or business, you're still at the whim and possible arbitrary nature that is the criminal justice system.
Think what they think, whim, arbitrary nature, that's what you open yourself up to. And we're going to pick it up here. We're going back. Somebody texted in, you're just supposed to let people kill you. Nope, nobody said that at all. All I'm trying to do is educate you to think twice, that once you pull that trigger, you are in the system and things are greatly out of your control, and you're looking at going into your pocket for some legal defense or going with a public defender and spending maybe 8 months in jail. No disrespect to that public defender. More with Dane Cialino when we come back. You got any questions about the use of firearms or self-defense or whatever? Dane can't give you legal advice, but he can answer the questions in a general manner at 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. I like to touch base with him every now and then. I know a lot of people have guns. I own guns, but I was involved in a situation as a very young man working at a gas station where somebody fired a warning shot and they were taken to jail for discharging a gun in city limits. And from that point, Dane, I guess that stuck with me, that as soon as you pull that trigger, it is out of your hands. Your fate is out of your hands. You are in the system. I'm getting a lot of texts here about road rage incidents. And I'm going to combine them all and ask you this, and I would think, generally speaking, you do not want to get out of your car, do you?
I would think not. I mean, that's one of those kind of tactical issues that I'm not informed enough to comment on.
Legally, I guess, is what I'm saying. Legally is what I'm saying. I don't.
Yeah, well, once you get out of your car, then you do lose the benefit of some legal presumptions that are favorable to you if you are defending yourself from an intruder outside of the car who is trying to perhaps carjack you or otherwise enter the car. Yes,
but
so
I guess,
don't get out of the car under those circumstances from a legal standpoint.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If for whatever reason you find yourself in a road rage incident and you're going to go tell a guy off and you're going to think you're going to defend yourself and take your gun with you to stand your ground, man, you're begging for a world of hurt there, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, because you can stand your ground. There's no duty to retreat in Louisiana, but that does kind of inform the fact finder about the necessity of the use of force. That's kind of a backdoor way to consider retreat in Louisiana, is that if you can retreat, even though you can stand your ground, it does call into question the necessity of using deadly force.
When you're in your home, pretty much same thing, stay indoors if you want the maximum legal protection?
Absolutely. The home, from a legal standpoint, is the safest place to use any defensive force. So, yeah, I mean, if you happen to be thinking about law books while you're in the middle of shaking in the middle of the night with a gun in your hand, stay inside.
Well, but I guess what I'm saying is now's the time to think of it, right? Now's the time to get your plan, not when you wake up in the middle of the night with a gun in your hand shaking. Now's the time to think, stay in your car, stay in your house, and maybe stay out of trouble. Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. We come back. We'll talk to Andrew Schwartz, professor of IT and EJ Uso School, College of Business at LSU. He's been researching technology-related issues for over 20 years. It's hard to keep up with what's going on with technology, so we're going to spend an hour talking about it, shooting the breeze, taking your questions at 504-260-1870 and more. It'll be interesting. Stay tuned. WWL.